that's it, never again. That's the farthest I want to go. And now I'm toying with doing a 12-hour ultra this fall and seeing if I can get the 100K mark. And
you're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. And this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. Whenever trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where our conversations might go. So there aren't too many topics that are off limits for us. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Trail Talk Podcast. My guest this week is Jo Harrelson. She is a friend of mine through Facebook and Instagram, a runner from Kansas who is working to run every county in the state. This podcast was recorded from a Facebook Live, and we had a few technical difficulties, but I thought the content was worth sharing anyway. Thanks again for listening, and here is my conversation with Jo Harrelson.
Yeah, I go by, my name is Jody, but I typically go by Jo on social media.
Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome. And what I usually kind of start out with is ask if you would just kind of give a little bit about who you are and kind of how you got started in running. So as if we were just kind of heading out on the trail to begin with, and just kind of get acquainted and tell me a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Okay. Well, I started running over 20 years ago. My brother joined the cross country team and I thought that seemed pretty cool. And so when I was old enough to join, I joined, and it's kind of became an obsession from there. And so I went to college and ran. And then kind of after I graduated, I kind of just dabbled in it for a while, took kind of a break, and then got this crazy idea to start running half marathons and then marathons and then ultras. And then I got into trail running. And so it's just kind of been always been a part of my life. So I just recently got my coaching certification so I can be a running coach. And So that was kind of another bucket list item that I've gotten to check off. And so just kind of, yeah. Running's always just been there for me. So
that's cool. And the progression you talked about of, you know, starting out with half marathons and then ultra marathons and trail. I hear that from a lot of people. It kind of one thing builds upon another. So
yeah. I've kind of been, oh, I've conquered this distance. So now it's like, oh, I wonder how far I can go. And so then couple years ago, I did my first 50 miler. And I said, okay, that's it, never again. That's the farthest I want to go. And now I'm toying with doing a 12-hour ultra this fall and seeing if I can get the 100K mark. And so it's kind of been up.
So where's the 12-hour ultra at?
Here in Wichita.
In Wichita, okay.
A 6-12, 24-hour ultra. And it's a 2-point-something-mile loop.
Okay.
And so I did my first ultra was actually this one, and I did the 6-hour. And so now I'm thinking, well, I could do the 12 hour, but we'll see if it gets canceled, but hopefully not.
So the six hour, you were able to run an ultra marathon.
Uh-huh. Yep. So my goal was to hit the 50K mark. And once I hit the 50K mark, I still had about 20, 30 minutes left. And then I was like, no, I'm not running anymore. I hit my 50K mark. I'm done. So,
okay. Well, 50K in 6 hours is a pretty good pace.
Yeah. It was kind of a not knowing what to do. And I ran too fast at the beginning and then had to do a lot of walking at the end, but lesson learned.
Right.
But it was quite the experience. So
I saw somebody who wrote on one of the trail groups that I'm involved in on Facebook. Mm-hmm. How do you keep from going out too fast when you're running an ultra marathon?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I usually walk the first mile.
And sometimes you have to, just to kind of keep yourself from going out too fast.
Because everyone takes off running.
Uh-huh.
And I think, well, they must be in, you know, they must know because, you know, everyone takes off. I've done that too. And then end up going like, oh my goodness, what did I do?
Yeah. With my 50 miler, I played it a little bit more safer. And I mean, I still did a lot of walking at the end because I had blisters on my feet, but it wasn't as much walking as I was doing for that 6 hour one. Mm-hmm. So
where did you do the 50 mile?
I did the Rails to Trails from Ottawa.
Okay.
Garnett and back. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Okay. So it's an out and back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's on that old rail bed that they have. That yes. They converted into a trail. Yeah.
Yeah. With the running group that here are the trail nerds that uh-huh. I'm part of. They're doing an unofficial fat ass, but they're running the whole thing. They're running to, I can't remember. Basically the end of the trail that's finished, and so uh-huh. 58 miles total.
Uh-huh.
And so we're all responsible. You're responsible for getting back mm-hmm. on your own. So you have to have your own support, or you have to be part of a team. So
that'll be fun.
yeah. So do you enjoy running? Do you enjoy running the flat, or do you like a little bit of hills?
I don't like hills, but I do run them. I try to incorporate them in my runs just because I know it makes me a better runner. But if I could avoid hills, I would.
Yeah, because I look at the rails trails and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's just there's nothing, no variation, there's no ups and downs.
It's flat.
And you just I'm not looking forward to it. It's uh-huh. something that's like, oh yeah, it's a challenge that I want to try, but mm-hmm. I prefer. I did the Pumpkin Holler last year, and it was all. Now they've got hills, they've got ups and downs. Uh-huh. You know, there's a lot of elevation for being, but it's still gravel roads.
Yeah.
And I just after in the middle of the night, I was like, just give me a rock to step over, please. Uh-huh. You know, I was really wanting to have some other motion other than what mm-hmm. I was doing.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. So you said you got certified to be a running coach. Uh-huh, what does that entail and what?
Well, I did found a program online, and it's the United Endurance Sports Coaching Academy. And it's a very in-depth program. So they give you about a year to complete it. You have different modules you go through, and then at the end you can take a test, and you have to pass with an 80% or better. Mm-hmm. And then you get a nice little certification plaque. So I signed up after, probably 5 or 6 years of saying that I'm gonna become a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I finally last year bit the bullet and I signed up, and so I did really well with studying up until the first of the year. And then with the whole new job change that I did, it kind of got pushed to the back burner. So then this past couple months, I've been studying and trying to get myself ready for that. And I just took my test a couple weeks ago and passed. And so now I'm certified.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
So, so you're on your own for getting clients and uh-huh. okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this yet. I'm just kind of like, well, I have my certification, and so I'm kind of in that now what do I do kind of stage. So mm-hmm. I'm still kind of figuring out what I want to do.
Another guy that is on Instagram, I don't know if you, he's called, goes by Anti-Gravity Gains, David Basile. He's one here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. He just recently, he's been a runner. He does keto or the fat adapted running,
uh-huh.
Has answered a lot of questions about his training and everything. And so he recently got certified as a running coach as well. It sounds very similar to what you did.
Yeah.
So
there's quite a few programs out there that I've seen that have certifications like that.
Yeah, and I know that you talked about a job change. I know mm-hmm. from following you on Instagram, you used to work with reptiles.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And now you're working with dogs and cats.
Uh huh. Yes. A big change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to school. I have my master's degree in biology, and studied reptiles. So I used to be at the zoo here in Wichita. Was there for about 7.5 years and decided I needed some more challenge in my life. So I switched jobs and working at a small humane society as the director. So it's been a big challenge. Mm-hmm. Reptiles are a lot different from your cats and your dogs, but
yeah,
it's been fun. So
yeah. Because I know a lot of us trail runners will post pictures of snakes on the trail, and people have, they have usually a pretty mixed reaction.
Well, and it's funny because when I go trail running, I never see them. It's like they know I'm out there. Mm-hmm. I think there's only been once I was in a race, the Nighthawk in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And I saw a snake on the trail, and that's the only time I've ever seen a snake on the trail.
So like was it a copperhead?
Copperhead.
Yeah.
And everybody was panicking, and I'm over here like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah. I'm kind of a freak when it comes to snakes. They're like looking at me like, oh my God, this girl's nuts.
I have a snake question.
Okay.
So I was running the Hawk. Well, the Hawk 50, I saw a very tiny, small copperhead during the day that was just and crawled on past the trail. But in the middle of the night, I was doing the Hawk 100, and it was, I don't remember, it was late at night, and I had twice, within probably a half an hour, copperhead crawled into the middle of the trail and then stopped dead.
Hmm.
And they were like 15 feet in front of me. And so they made their way out of the brush and onto the trail. And so I stopped, you know, cause it's like, they were close enough for my headlight to illuminate them. I stopped, but then they also stopped, and you know, it happened twice. I thought if they would have just kept going,
Yeah.
So is that something that's,
they can, if the light hits them and they kind of, they'll pause and just
it's probably it was the light that they reacted to maybe, or the,
yeah, you probably startled them. So they probably stopped, making sure that you weren't gonna, you know, come at them. And then once they felt it was okay to move on, they probably just decided, okay, you're good. You're not gonna hurt me. We're gonna go. So,
well, I stomped my feet because I know they can pick up vibrations from the ground. Uh-huh. And one of them turned and looked at me, but they didn't move.
Yeah.
So just like, okay, come on.
Move. Yeah.
My pacer was behind me. And he got a stick and moved it off the trail.
Yeah.
That is a lot of people will see copperheads. That seems to be a good place to see them. And a lot of people who run the Hawk or run the Clinton trails will have snake stories. I know.
Oh yeah.
Misty Wright, a lady that I ran with, she was running the 50. And was coming into the finish line, and the man who was the winner, the leader of the 100, was almost, you know, was going to run by her, and she stopped him because there was a snake, copperhead had staked out the middle of the trail. To,
oh, Jesus!
that's something I know. I don't see very many snakes when I run, but I've seen a few.
And, yeah.
But I'm sure I've probably run by some.
That I have too, but I just haven't, you know, they're not visible enough for me to actually see them. So
yeah,
usually I think I see one and it's usually a stick or, you know, piece of trash or something. So
yeah.
I'm always envious of people who find them.
Yeah. Now, I have not seen a rattlesnake yet. I know there's a few people who've seen timber rattlers, but I just have not seen in the trail runs. And I know that I probably have run by some because they're primary. They don't move. I mean, if they see somebody, that's their first instinct is just kind of hold still. Mm-hmm. So I know there's probably been lying alongside their trail as I've gone by, but they just let me go by.
So
I guess one of the things I was going to ask you, what is your favorite distance that you've run so far?
I really like half marathons, which I know sounds kind of silly since lately I've been doing a lot of ultras and marathons, full marathons. that, and I don't even know why I like half marathons. They just have always kind of appealed to me. I think it's maybe because it's the first long distance race that I ever really did, you know, all through high school, college. It was always like a 5K, you know, 10Ks kind of here and there. So a half marathon was kind of really my first big race. And so mm-hmm. that's kind of always been my favorite. So.
So you said you're doing a 12 hour, you're looking at a 100K.
I'm looking at a 12 hour. Yeah. 12 hour. I've been crunching the numbers and figuring out if I can squeeze in a 100K in 12 hours. So I think it's doable, but
it's
going to take a lot of grit and a lot of focus, but I think I can do it.
Yeah. And a lot of, and keep moving. Doesn't give you a lot of time at aid stage. You know, you really got to stay moving for that. So, thinking about anything perhaps of a longer distance than that?
I've been reading some books on and some people that have done 100 milers, and it's pretty inspiring. I don't think I'm quite there yet, and I don't want to say that 100 miles would be the farthest I've ever, you know, want to go. Mm-hmm. Because I said that about the 50 miler, and here I am looking at 100K. So, and I also said that I was going to do one marathon and never do another one, and I've done 7 or 8 now. Uh-huh. So I've learned not to say one and done. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe one day I might do 100 miles, but I might go farther. I don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, and it's gotten to be that 100 miles is just kind of the average. You know, like the marathon used to be. I mean, used to be everyone thought marathon was a huge long distance.
Uh-huh.
And
I know it seemed like the past, I would say last 2 or 3 years, it was everybody started doing a 50K, and now it's like, oh well, 50Ks are a piece of cake, so we're gonna do 50 miles, 100 miles. So mm-hmm. it seems like the ultra world's kind of growing on people.
Well, and then you know, I thought. You know, the Moab 240 mile was, I thought, wow, 240 miles. And then I don't know that they actually got it done, but there was a 310 mile race that was supposed to happen in California this year.
Uh-huh. I saw that. Yeah.
The big multi-day uh-huh. events. And
that blows my mind. I can't imagine going that far, but
yeah. Yeah,
kudos to the people that do.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different strategy. I mean, it's the kind of running, it's you know, running, and it's all about managing your energy uh-huh. output. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I know as I've watched you on Instagram, one of the things that you were doing is running in every county.
Yes.
Kansas. What was the inspiration for that?
Well, I decided that everybody's doing the, you know, run a race in every state kind of thing. And that seemed to be pretty mainstream. And I don't want to say I'm anti-mainstream, but I don't tend to follow the trends and the fads mm-hmm. and stuff. So I decided, well, it's probably not feasible for me, to run every state. So I decided, you know what, I can run every county in Kansas, and that's pretty amazing, you know, thing to do. So I've done, I want to say I'm like halfway through the counties. So okay. I started it about 2 years ago, and this will be my third year of doing it. So it's been fun. Me and my mom go out, and she either follows me in the car, or she hangs out wherever I decide to run, and we just visit. We pick a town in every county. So whether it's, you know, the county seat, or it's just some podunk little town, and we just go do a mile and do some sightseeing and just mm-hmm. kind of have fun. And it's been, I've gotten a lot of strange looks from people. They're wondering why I'm running in their town that has no stoplight, and it's, you know, 3 blocks long. And I just smile and, you know, wave at them. But we've saw some pretty neat stuff, and got to try some little hometown restaurants, and we just kind of make a fun little road trip out of it.
Yeah, so, there's a lot to see in Kansas.
There is, and it's amazing because you think, oh, Kansas is flat and it all looks the same, and honestly, it really doesn't. I mean, I've ran some hilly places, and I've ran some places that were flat, and I've ran by some pretty cool scenery, and so it's been fun. It's been a good adventure. So.
Yeah. and there's, I think, from 105 counties in Kansas.
105 counties. Yep.
So yeah, there's double the amount of states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a little bit longer to do. But,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you also would stand out because some of those towns are small enough that, you know, when someone new comes in, everyone knows everybody.
Yes, and I have a tank top that I wear, and it's lime green, so I really stand out.
Okay.
And on the front of it, it has a state of Kansas and a runner that's kind of, I'm running all 105 counties in Kansas. So,
oh, cool.
At least they kind of know, if they read the shirt, they know exactly what I'm doing out there, so I'm not crazy lady that's running down their main street. So,
yeah. So do you run mostly roads when you do this, or do you run trails sometimes?
It depends. I mean, sometimes I run roads, and sometimes if I can find a trail, I'll just run out, you know, on the trail. I've ran in nature parks. I've ran old highways. You know, I mean, it's just whatever we can find that, you know, that works. I ran a county road once. We parked at this old church, and I just ran half a mile down and turned around and ran half a mile back to the church and called it good. So, so yeah, it depends. I mean, we usually try to start early in the morning, to at least beat the heat. But, last year we took a family vacation out to Colorado and we drove. And so we stopped at every county on the way out and I ran my mile. And by the time we hit the border, it was hot. And I was tired and I was done, but I got them all. And then after we were coming home, we took a different route home and I ran the counties all the way back home. So,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So I've hit 9 or 10 counties in a day. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that would be a good way to do it too, just because Kansas is so, there's a lot of miles, a lot of space, you know, especially in Western Kansas.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah, and I haven't even hit a lot of those counties out there yet. So that's the next goal.
Yeah, there's some interesting history in some of those places.
Oh yeah.
I did back in 2006, I think I started. No, 2007. Mm-hmm. For about 3 or 4 years, I did the Bike Across Kansas.
Oh yeah.
And so they had a different route every year, but we rode through a lot of those Western Kansas counties. And yeah, it's not flat. I mean, you try to ride it on a bicycle or try to run it, you find the things in a car that look like, you know, this is not a hill, that you end up, there's quite a few hills.
Quite a
bit of elevation up and down.
Oh yeah. And some of those are gradual that you, especially in a car, you wouldn't notice, but when you get out there and it's like, man, I feel like I've been running up a hill this whole time, and it's like, oh yeah, it's a gradual little incline. And I think those are a lot worse than having to go up a tall hill. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And they would just go up for, you know, they'd go up for a couple of miles. I mean, it was just a gradual uphill. You find that out when you're out there. And the other thing that is nice about it is being out, you probably have experienced this, being out there in the vastness you feel it, you don't get the same sense as when you're in a car or if you just like get out at the rest stop. But if you're out there in the country running down the road and there's just open space all around, it's an interesting feeling.
For miles, and it's just like, I'm a tiny speck in this vast, you know, vast pasture, you know, countryside, whatever. So it's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome feeling just being out there and nothing but you and open road and just the sound of your feet and you're just going. So,
yeah. Well, that's cool. So you don't have a deadline for completing it. It's just something you're doing
just something I'm doing. I'd like to be done, you know, 5 years. I mean, I'm kind of giving myself some leeway because, you know, obviously if it's bad weather, I don't want to be out and kind of juggling it between a full-time job and you know, whatnot, and training runs. I don't want to injure myself when I'm training for a race, you know, by doing mm-hmm. multiple counties, because a lot of it's, I run my mile, we get in the car, we drive for a while. So it's a lot of stop and get out and go and run. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be smart about it, but so I'm hoping 5 years or so to be done, but we'll see. It's not like, there's not a solid deadline. It's just something that I want to complete. So,
yeah. Well, and one of the other things I've seen in your Instagram is that you are a yoga practitioner, mm-hmm. and there was a time you were I can't remember if it was a yoga challenge that you were doing on Instagram.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how does yoga help you as a runner?
Well,
because I know like very little about yoga. I mean, mm-hmm. I kind of know the concept and know the idea of it. I know a couple of poses,
yeah.
But I'd like to know a little bit more about what it is and how does it help you as a runner?
Well, I had kind of been dabbling in it for probably the last 10 years or so, just on and off. I've always heard that it was good for runners and you should do it, stay flexible. And I'm not flexible. I can't touch my toes on, you know, on a good day. So, I've been having a lot of hip problems on and off. Not really sure exactly what the cause is. I have weak glute muscles. So I think that's a lot of that. And I had been going to, physical therapy, and doing all sorts of stuff with that. And that was helping, but it got to the point where I was going to physical therapy, like a lot, and it was kind of like, why am I throwing money at this? There has to be a better way. So I started to really get into yoga, just doing my basic stretches, like downward dog and, mm-hmm. and pigeon pose and you know, just those basic ones. And I told myself, all right, you're going to do 10 minutes a day, because surely I can find 10 minutes sometime in my busy life to sit and do some stretches. And so I started doing that. And honestly, that made my hip feel really good. And so I was like, well, this is interesting. So I tried to do a 365-day yoga challenge, and that didn't quite work so well. I skipped some days. Uh-huh. But I mean, I made it at least 200 days of doing 10 minutes every day. And it was just amazing. I felt better. I was sleeping better at night. You know, my hip wasn't hurting. And then I kind of let that go to the wayside. So I've been trying to get back into it again. But it's one of those things where everybody always says, okay, well, you need to add strength training into your running, because that's going to help your running and make you stronger. Mm-hmm. But I'm a firm believer that adding yoga in, is just as important. And a lot of the yoga exercises that the poses and stuff you can do, you can make those into a strength workout. It's all body weight. So when you're doing, you know, plank pose or chaturangas, which I absolutely hate, and it's kind of like a low plank, you're building a lot of muscle. So it's helping gain strength, but then you also get your flexibility, and then it kind of ties in with the whole breathing and meditation and stuff like that. So it's been, I'm still learning myself on, mm-hmm. on different yoga poses, and I'm not the best. I can't do any of the fancy stuff, but for me, it's not really about that. It's about, you know, making a commitment and showing up and being dedicated, and then, you know, trying to loosen up my hips and, you know, gain strength and stuff. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's definitely something that I highly recommend, even if it's, like I said, just 10 minutes a day, that helps.
So you said that's you have the pose, and mm-hmm. then there's, you said, two things that I don't do when I'm doing yoga is the, and I say, I see doing yoga. I do three poses. I do
I do the child's pose, I do downward dog, and I do pigeon. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kind of the three that I do to stretch my hips and lower back. Mm-hmm. But, so what is it, what does the breathing and the meditation meditation do that?
It just kind of, I mean, breathing just kind of helps you relax and kind of get into the pose. So a lot of times, like if I'm, let's say I'm in pigeon pose, if I kind of focus on my breathing, so, you know, take a deep breath in, you know, let it out, that kind of relaxes my body enough that I can kind of get deeper into that pose, and then I can get a really good stretch. So just kind of focusing on that. And even when I go to some of the yoga studios, they have you at the beginning, they kind of just have you close your eyes and just, you know, focus on your breath, take big breaths in, hold it, let it out. And that just mm-hmm. kind of relaxes you and gets you kind of, you know, you get your mind focused for the class. So,
okay.
And same with meditation. It just kind of a quiet, you know, kind of get all the thoughts out of your head and just do nothing, but just focus on your breathing, clear your mind, relaxation kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I noticed that if I'm been pushing myself hard and stuff, then I tend to be more tense and I'm just, you know, so if I just stop and just take a few moments to just focus on my breathing and just relax and stuff, then I typically feel more clear headed and I can, you know, I feel better about my day.
Mm-hmm. So you do it in the morning then?
I try to do it in the morning. It doesn't always work. I'm not a morning person. So, but I noticed that a lot of times if I do it at night, like right before bed, then I fall asleep faster. I tend to stay asleep, you know, throughout the night. So it just really, I know that we had talked before we went live about yoga with Adrienne. She has a lot of stuff on her YouTube channel, and she has the sleep one for you. She shows you how to do different poses before bed, and you focus on your breathing and stuff. And if I do that right before bed, I am like falling asleep. And the video hasn't even ended, and I'm like nodding off. So I try to do a lot of my breathing exercises and stuff at night, just because it really relaxes me, and I can usually fall asleep pretty quick.
So does it help you with? Does it help you with recovery in your running?
I think so.
Or does it help you with, is it more prevention? I mean,
I think it's a little of both. I mean, I mostly focus on it for the, you know, prevention of the injuries and stuff, but it does make me feel better when I, especially after a long run, if I do it, then I don't feel like I'm walking like my 80-year-old grandma when I'm, you know, throughout the day, I'm more relaxed and, you know, I feel like my legs aren't my favorite. After running exercises is putting your legs up against the wall. That kind of helps everything just kind of decompress and I typically feel a lot better.
Hmm. So, I will have to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a good one. So
did you find yourself making more time as you got more involved in it?
I do. I still have those moments where I'm like, I don't want to get on my yoga mat and I don't want to do, you know, anything, but I still try to, sometimes some days are harder than others, but I'm learning as I go on, it's a necessity. I mean, I have no problem putting my shoes on and heading out the door to run. So I need to make the same dedication to my yoga practice as I do my running.
So do you have like a bare minimum, like that you do if you only have if you're lacking motivation and have like very little time, maybe slept in a little bit, mm-hmm. do you have like a bare minimum that you of poses that you do are your core poses, or?
I just kind of mix it up, but I give myself, I tell myself you have to do 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I figure, okay, if I'm on my mat and I do 10 minutes, usually by the time I look at my watch, I'm usually past 10 minutes mm-hmm. and I'm feeling good. And so then I just keep going. So, but I make myself stay on the mat for 10 minutes.
Okay.
So even if I'm not feeling it that day, I just really don't, even if I only do two poses and it takes me 10 minutes to do two poses, I still just, you know, 10 minutes is my, it's my minimum. So,
okay.
And I try to switch it up on the poses that I do every session. So I don't really have a flow. I just kind of stretch whatever I feel like needs to be stretched that day. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess what you've got the this when is your 12-hour run coming up?
It's in November.
November, okay. Well, the weather will be a little bit cooler.
Yes, yes. So I'm hoping it doesn't snow, but yeah, cooler weather would be great because this heat is. This humidity is driving me crazy.
So. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I tried to do 63K on Sunday and it got to be hot and humid and my body was done at 25 miles, but I was 5 miles from my car. Mm-hmm. We're going another five because we got to get back, but I was happy with that. I knew when I scheduled this, you know, to say that I was going to do that, I knew the weather would be a factor, but it's mm-hmm. one of those things. I didn't want to not schedule it for a what if. Because you never know, you never know what the weather is going to do. And it's like, if I would have said, oh, you know, it's too hot at the end of July to do something like this. Well, mm-hmm. it could have been like the weather we're having right now, which is, well, it's rainy, mm-hmm. But it's cool. It's rather cool. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and schedule it. And if it's hot, I'll just do what I can.
Yeah, you never know. It Kansas, it changes a lot.
Yeah. And you can have the same thing in January. I mean, I've seen 70 degrees in January here, so.
We apologize for our technical difficulties. We now return to our regular show.
So
yeah.
So the race you're doing that's coming up, you said that's a loop course?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's so like a 2-point-something-mile looped course. Yeah.
Okay. So is it a trail race then?
It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's really a trail, but it's in a park. So, I mean, it's on grass.
Okay.
With a little
like dirt, a cross country, path. Like a cross country track.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, there's a cross country course that's near us. That's in a park, and it's about mm-hmm. a. You know, I know when they run cross country, it's marked, mm-hmm. uh-huh. but then when they leave, they take all the markings, and all I have is just the paths, and so I never know which, you know. So it's somewhere between 3 and 5 miles. It depends on which way I go.
Which way do you go? Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So is it all? It's all on grass then?
All on grass, yeah. On grass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Well, that would be a fun.
It'll be mentally challenging, especially with the only being a 2-mile loop and doing that for 12 hours. But I mean, I'm never that far away from an aid station, or you know, something goes wrong, or I need somebody to cheer me on to get me motivated and back in the game and you know whatnot. So,
do you know how many runners are gonna be signed up?
I don't know. It's a pretty small event,
that can be challenging if it's a small event and you don't have that many people out there with you.
Yeah, I think the first year that I had done this event, they have a 6-hour, and I want to say there was maybe 50 to 75 runners, so nothing huge, but it's not like super small either. So
I've only been in part of one loop race. It was they call it the winter. It was the Shoustis, is what, because there's what in the trails at Wyandotte County Lake, there's a what they call a Shoust loop, and it runs through the derelict old bathroom. The ruins are still there, and so it's like we set up the aid station, at the kind of the foyer of the bathroom, and it has no roof on it. And so it just, I mean, it's just some concrete walls and ran loops from sunrise to sunset.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was a, they had, there was beer, there was, you know, they made beer staffs. So there were people who they, as they finished a beer, they would put a new beer, they taped the beer cans together, basically.
Oh, wow.
And so the beer on the top was the one they were drinking out of. Mm-hmm. And by the time they were done, their staffs were as tall as taller than their heads. Oh, wow. And they still ran the trail. I don't know how they could, but.
Wow. I'm impressed. Yeah. I would not be able to do that.
I think they had someone help drive them home, but they were able to run.
Wow.
But I only got to do a few hours. I had a funeral I had to go to, but it was a fun event, and so I think they're going to do it again. But it's a quarter mile loop, and so you get to see, you know, I mean, see people a lot.
Yeah.
And even though there's just a handful of people being a small loop, it was fun.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave me a different perspective on looped courses. Was one of those things I thought I didn't think I would like it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if they're done right, you can really have some fun and, you know, accomplish your goal, but they can also be kind of tedious and really push your mental limits. So,
yes,
I feel that way about out and backs too. It's kind of like, oh, I've seen the scenery going out, now I have to turn around, I'm going to see the same thing going back. But again, if it's done right, I think it's it can be actually pretty fun.
Well, and some of the, I mean, a lot of the courses that ultras are run on are loops. You'll have 10 mile, 15 mile loops. Mm-hmm. You know, even the Hawk is 25 mile loops. Mm-hmm. So you end up running it however many, you know, twice for the 50 mile or four times for the 100.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had signed up for the Hawk, and the year that I ran it, they had so much rain that we couldn't even get on the trails. So we had to do the alternate course. So I never actually got to run the trails that day. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So were you running the marathon?
I did the marathon, and that was one of my toughest marathons I've ever done. And it was just, we were running through the campgrounds and it was just.
So it was asphalt roads, and there's some gravel too, a little bit.
A little bit of gravel, and then they let us run on a little bit of the trails, but it's a very small section. But it was
an
adventure.
Yeah, if I remember it, was that 2017?
2016 or 2017? 2016 or 2017. Yeah,
I have the one of the ladies who paced me in my 100 mile run at the Hawk. Had run that race. And so she talked about how running on the roads, and then for the 100 milers, the trails had dried out enough. I think they ran the last 25 all on trails.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that would be having run on roads for 100. I don't know that I'd want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I keep saying I'm going to go back and I'm going to sign up and I'm going to run the Hawk on the actual trails, but a lot of the races that I do, it ends up raining. And so I'm like, well, do I sign up and run, you know, the alternate route again? Or do I, you know, hope that it's, you know, dry enough and I can run on the trails? So.
Yeah. And you never know what you're going to get. I mean,
I never know what I'm going to get.
And,
so.
And it's just, well, and we talked about that with the race in November. I mean, it could be in the 60s, or it could be, you know, 20 degrees and snowing. You just never know.
But that's kind of the fun challenge is, you know, adapting to whatever Mother Nature throws at you, and you know.
Yeah, that's the thing about trail.
You're better than that.
Yeah, that's the thing about trail racing. Mm-hmm. So there seems there was something else in the back of my mind I was going to ask you about, besides yoga, but I guess that was your plans going forward. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything else on your agenda that you want to do as far as running?
Not really. I mean, I'm up for anything. Right now, it's just trying to find a race that's actually happening with everything that's going on. I was actually signed up to do the Marine Corps Marathon in October, and that just got canceled. So
okay. That's in New York, right?
Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of my big goal. It's a lotto race, so I wasn't even sure I was going to make it in. But so I actually got accepted.
You got accepted?
And so I was all excited about that. And so my brother and I we both got in, and so we were going to run it. My dad was actually in the Marines, and he passed away 5 years ago this year. So it was kind of going to be our way to honor him. Mm-hmm. And so we had made all of our plans, and then they canceled last week. And so now it's kind of, okay, well, we're going to do it next year. But so my hopes and dreams this year have
kind of been. You got a deferment?
Yeah, I'm going to defer it. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So as of right now, I'm just kind of taking things day by day. And if a new adventure pops up, then I'll go for it. And see what happens. So.
Have you done any virtual races?
I've been doing a lot of virtual races. kind of sick of virtual races, but I actually, I'm part of a program, and it's called I Run for Michael. And you run with, you're matched with a buddy, and your buddy has special needs. So they can't actually run. So you run for them.
Okay.
So I matched with a little girl, and she lives in Australia, and she has cerebral palsy, so she can't run. So I run for her, and then I send all of my medals to her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of virtual races. So I tell her, I was like, well, I'm not the one running. We are running, because she's always with me. When I did my 50-miler, I had actually printed a picture of her off and taped it to my hydration pack, so she was actually really with me. So every medal that I get, I mail down to her, and it puts a smile on her face, so it makes me feel like I'm doing something. So this year I've been doing a lot of virtual runs just so she can have some medals to enjoy. So
is this it's an organization?
It is. It's a worldwide organization. It was started by a guy, and he had, I guess, just posted on his Facebook that he needed motivation to get out the door and start running. And he had a friend that has Down syndrome, and his friend said, "Well, you can run for me." And so that kind of kicked off the whole okay. And so then it became an organization, and so. There's people all over the world that are matched. I mean, some people are matched with people here, you know, they're both in the United States, and they can go visit each other, and they, you know, they become your family. So, my little girl's in Australia. So, as soon as I can make it down there to visit, then I'm going to go. So
for kids, or is it adults?
Nope, there's adults too. There's adults too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah,
because I saw a man who was, I think this is what he's looking, something that he's looking for. He's been in a wheelchair all of his life, and he said he would like to connect with a runner who I'd be able to identify with, that I could have, you know, in my mind have some of the kind of experiences that a runner would have. And
that's kind of how this program. Yeah. Works. You run for them, you dedicate your miles, you start out as strangers that you don't even know each other, and then you end up becoming, you know, basically family. So
wow, that's cool. Yeah. It's called I run for Michael.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. I'll have to look that up. And
they've got a Facebook page and a website. So, and then there's a list for runners that they just fill out their information, and there's, I mean, it is a waiting list. I waited about a year and a half before I was matched. So there's typically a lot more runners than there are buddies. So it is, you know, you have to be patient, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see if I can find this guy on, on Facebook and connecting with that.
Because
it was he's posted it on a couple of different groups, mm-hmm. and so yeah. I don't think he's had anybody take him up on his on what he's asking for yet. So
yeah, well, you'll have to direct him to that. He'll be pleasantly surprised at the support that he'll get.
yeah, that's good. So, anything else? I mean, I've talked about a little bit about your stuff on social media. So if someone wants to connect with you and you don't know quite what you're doing as far as coaching, but if someone wanted to follow you, kind of where can they connect with you on social media and what's the best way if they wanted to get more information about what you're doing?
Instagram's probably the best. I'm at Adventures of a Runner. And then I do have a blog, Adventures of a Runner blog, .wordpress.org, .com. I can't remember. Okay. I haven't been blogging a lot lately, but I'm hoping to start that back up. But Instagram is definitely the best way to.
And I think Instagram links to your blog, if I remember right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Instagram probably be the place that people could connect
with
you.
To track me down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate the time you spent and the things that you shared.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And I run for Michael. I mean, it's like I never know what things are going to come up in our conversation.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a cool organization. So
it is.
So I'll try to put that in the Facebook Live that we have here, and also in the podcast when I do the show notes and do that connection. So. Thanks a lot, Jody. I appreciate it. Joe.
Either way.
I am so confused. I just learned your name and now I keep giving me the wrong. Yeah. So, thanks.
I'll answer both.
Okay. That's great. I've appreciated getting to know you. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. And
For sure. Thank you for having me. It's been, been fun.
And good luck with your coaching however that goes. So
thank you.
So, I appreciate it. So thanks. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.